fighting inoperable cancer has its extra hidden downfalls too. When serious illness comes, work generally does not. As much as Aidan is totally committed to providing and publishing his inspiring and very popular blogs and podcasts, the cost for paying for hosting and high bandwidth for these still have to be met. If you or your company are interested in a sponsoring deal that can help with this, then Aidan would love to hear from you. Simply send an email to hello@aidanmurphy.com and we'll take it from there. Thank you.
You are very welcome to Captain Murph's Cancer Kicking Podcast, the factual, chronological, and indeed real life story of Dunchoklin-based Irishman Aidan Murphy. Now he is currently dealing with, but more importantly, fighting his inoperable cancer. From piloting helicopters to flying hot air balloons, and being the first aviator in the world licensed to do both, since, I might add, after being permanently blinded in one eye at the tender age of 5. Take it from me, Aidan's podcasts are definitely ones worth tuning into. Thank you for your time and enjoy.
Hello there. Welcome along to another podcast. Aidan Murphy here with you for the next 10 or 15 minutes or so. So in this podcast, what happened? What went down? Or should I say, what went up? Well, flying, or should I say soaring, is the theme of it. The highs of the flights and the soars and the lows of having cancer. It's all here. Enjoy. So I think it all started for me yesterday morning, which will be Saturday morning. Got a phone call from a friend of mine, William Tracy, from Trim. William normally flies, well, he's a commercial airline pilot with an airline the far side of the world. And he's also a hot air balloon pilot. And I think when he comes home on his off days back to Ireland, himself and his good lady wife, obviously he's a fixed wing pilot as well. And he has one of these motor gliders, which are a very interesting aircraft. So it's got engine and it can soar like a glider. So got a phone call yesterday morning. Aidan, the weather is good. Would you like to come flying? Well, I didn't have to be asked twice. I can assure you of that. Me and private small aircraft don't get on the best. We've always had this claustrophobic arrangement between us. But you know what? I said to myself, probably to quote one of Richard Branson's quotes, screw it, let's do it. So you know what? Life's too short for these little hang-ups. Let's go and see if we can get into William's motorised glider, which I'm sure I could. And I'm sure I wouldn't feel that claustrophobic. But anyway, so off we thundered. Toddled down the M3, arrived at the airfield near Athboy, and went flying. I think the first thing that struck me was the space that's inside the cockpit. It's a two-seater motorised glider. That's what I'm calling it, so excuse my ignorance if there's a more technical name on it. Probably a sailplane or such like. But yeah, jumped in, eased myself in, eased into the cockpit. The seating arrangements is side by side. So I was in the right-hand seat. William was in the left. Quite easy to get into, considering, you know, you have to step here and don't step there. And it's just once the canopy was closed and it's a full, but I won't say it's full 360, obviously it's not. It's definitely a 140-degree visibility degree canopy. Being 6'4", my head was just about touching off the inside of the Perspex. So that was the only inclination that I felt that I was somewhere smaller than me or as big as me, maybe. But however, the distractions were there. The radio switched on. The seatbelts were duly strapped in. The first thing I noticed was these seatbelts. It's a German-built aircraft. The seatbelts are... they're just built solid. That's all you can say. I was going to say built like a German you-know-what house, but I won't use the profanities. iTunes won't mightn't appreciate it. So anyway, yeah, engine started. We trundled down the grass runway and we were up, up and away. And it was not that noisy for a powered aircraft. William explained the size of the engine to me and how efficient it is, because the fact it can be a glider as well. And we spent about maybe 10 minutes chasing thermals over the town of Atboy. And wasn't long before William said, here, we have one. The inclinometer or the altitude indicator was giving us, or shall I say, the VSI, the vertical climb indicator, was giving us these wonderful beeps telling us we're climbing high, and the engine was off, which means we were in a thermal and we were soaring. And it was just beautiful. It's a bit like in a balloon basket for an unseasoned balloon pilot or a balloonist. I was in a glider stroke motor glider with an unseasoned, which was an unseasoned atmosphere for me to be in, which meant I was totally distracted by everything that was going on. And I mean that in a positive way. It was just fantastic. 5 minutes later, and both of us copped these two fixed-wing feathered birds, shall we say, flying at altitude. We were at about just under 3,000 feet, and they were a bit above us. We were outside the controlled airspace, and in fairness, so were the birds, but they caught William's attention straight away, so bank hard left, and let's follow those feathers and see where we get. And to be fair, they obviously could see or could sense the thermals, because they found it. And they shared it with us, and it was fantastic sharing a thermal with Mother Nature, which was part of Mother Nature. You know, as I said, all I can keep on going back to, it was such a huge positive distraction for me. I just felt like I was a bird. I know people relate to flying in hot air balloons as flying like a bird, but I think when the birds are up with you, soaring with you, and you're soaring and steering as well, I don't think you can come any closer to feathered flight than I did yesterday. So it's an experience that I'm truly grateful for. And William, thank you so much again for that. So other things that's happened to me this week, as I said, I got my chemo. As you're probably aware, last Tuesday, my weekly chemo. My bloods were down, but just up enough to administer the chemo. The danger, of course, being they will drop drastically after the chemo, which they would do, and which causes infection issues and extreme tiredness issues for me. So I'll be straight up and hands in the air and say, I've been absolutely, I won't say the word, exhausted for most of the week. And it's getting frustrating. I'm don't get me wrong, I'm wide-eyed and bushy-tailed in the morning. At 10:30, I want to go back to sleep again, and I haven't even got out of the bed at this stage, and I've slept properly all night. And I nod off again for an hour and a bit, and wake up again. And then I want to get out, I want to get dressed. So come lunchtime, after lunch, I make a move to get out, and I do. But come 4:00, I'm tired again. It's like this ball and chain. I'm just hoping that it's the blood levels that are low this week that are causing it. And my theory is, if I mind myself, you know, and tick the boxes, that I'll get to the plus side of this blood level, this low blood level business, and make it high again. So my chemo next Tuesday won't be as hard on me if I can build up my blood cells in the meantime. That's my plan, and it's a plan in theory. Who knows what was going to work out in practice, but hey, let's see how it goes. I can't be much more tired than I am during the day, to be honest with you. And it can get embarrassing sometimes when you're out at a neighbour's house like I was last night. I just had to excuse myself at 9:00 and say, folks, I have to go to bed, I'm so sorry. And neighbours and friends understand, but it's, you know, it's uncomfortable saying these things. People do understand, but from my end of it, it is uncomfortable saying it, because I'm not used to saying it, and I don't want to say it. And before I say it, I can assure you I've had a fight in my mind for 15 to 20 minutes previous to that, to see, can I come to an arrangement with my mind and body that I don't have to go home or go to bed early. But the tiredness generally wins the battle, unfortunately, at the end of the day. But hey, that's where we are. If the bloods are low, the tiredness is going to be there. I just have to conserve it and work on it, and hopefully next Tuesday will tell a different story. Of course, being summertime, and in the hot air ballooning way of things, this being the peak time of our sport, we do get invited, or rather I get invited to balloon meets, be the Irish balloon meets or festivals in the UK. Or I got a lovely invite to a balloon festival in Romania, which is happening in September, and I was out there before at that festival some years back. And it was brilliant, fantastic, so competently run. The Romanian people are just beautiful people. You don't really meet the real Romanian people probably until you get to Romania. I've never met them before, and their English is fantastic. They say they haven't got good English, but they have. They're very well educated rakes, extremely mannerly, very polite. And the weather is nice for ballooning out there. So the good news is we got a lovely invite to this hot air balloon meet out in the same place as last time by Amara. But of course the bad news was I had to refuse it and say, no, sorry folks, I can't go. And they understood why. So I've been asked to pass that invitation on to any other Irish balloon team that might be interested in going out. They do want an Irish balloon out there. So of course I've sent the internal emails around my colleagues. So hopefully, fingers crossed, one of them will bite the bullet and decide to do a road trip in September. The kids are back to school, so the ferry prices and airline prices should be down. So it's doable, you know. The time we were there, we couriered out on front of us what we needed, the heavy bulk, and brought the rest with us. And shipped the heavy kit back to HQ after the event. So it can be done, and it's an experience worth having. And I'm very glad I was invited and took up the offer there some years ago. Don't forget my friends in Gary Kelly at the Gary Kelly Cancer Support Centre, which I attend every week, along with hundreds of other people, I might add. Myself and my friend Barbara O'Connor were in the middle of a fundraiser, Hearts for Heroes. So if you'd like to buy a heart for your hero, you buy it from us. It costs €10 each. It's all done through PayPal. How you access the details is just simply go. It's on Facebook, but if you go to heartsforheroes.net, I'll say that again, heartsforheroes.net, it will migrate you over to the appropriate Facebook page where you can send in your €10 or more, and your name will be put on a heart. And the heart goes on a custom-made, hand-built frame in the shape of a ribbon, and that will all be presented to the Gary Kelly Cancer Support Centre in good time, along with all the money. Fingers crossed, we hope to raise over €2,000. And, you know, we're 25% there, I think, at the moment, or thereabouts. So fingers crossed that'll all work out. So heartsforheroes.net, if you haven't already done so. And thank you in advance for your support on that.
Stay connected with Aidan by heading over to his website, aidanmurphy.com. From there, book Aidan to give an inspiring, motivational talk to your workplace, college or club. Read his popular blog, tune into his podcasts, follow him on Twitter and LinkedIn, or simply catch up with him on Facebook. AidanMurphy.com. A real inspiring home in a virtual world.
So there we go, folks. Keeping up to my promise, keeping my podcast reasonably short. Thank you so much for listening. Yes, I feel bright and breezy. It's currently 12:30 Irish time in the afternoon. My exhaustion is probably due in the next hour or so. So before it does, I'm going to sign off. Again, thanks for listening. To catch up on the rest of what's going on, AidanMurphy.com. And if you can at all help out with some sponsorship, it of course would be so much appreciated. In the meantime, many thanks. Chat to you soon.